Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
So, I know that they're scattered abroad, seniors are, but this morning on graduation Sunday, I want to speak to the seniors, but I want to speak to everybody that is listening, whether you're listening by Facebook or you're listening here in person. And we're going to be looking at a story that on the surface seemingly has nothing to do with high school or college graduation. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about the incident around a 12-year-old girl dying. Most are thinking, this should be an encouraging sermon. But before you judge, let me explain the story, and then I'll tie it all together, and you'll see how this can be an encouragement and a challenge, not just to our graduates, but to all of us that are in person here. Mark chapter 5, please, in your Bible, Mark chapter 5. We're going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture. We're going to read starting in verse 22. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather got worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I might but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest the master any further? Let's pray. Lord, you know that we are in desperate need of you. Oftentimes, I mistakenly ask you to help me, but I don't want you to help me. I want you to use me. I want to be an empty pot and you be the treasure to fill it. I want to be the empty riverbed and you be the river. I just want to be a vessel. I want to be an encouragement to everyone that is listening. I want to bring honor and glory to your son, Jesus. So will you please meet with us in a very special way? Father, there may be somebody, and you know, I don't. There may be somebody listening that doesn't know you as their personal Savior. They've never accepted you. They've never asked your son, Jesus, to be their Savior. And Father, I pray that you'll work in their heart, that your Holy Spirit will convict them, that you'll help them. We love you. We appreciate what you're going to do, what you have done. Bless these seniors. May this be an encouraging day, and may we give your son Jesus glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's start by looking at the need. The need in this story is obvious. A man named Jairus had a 12-year-old daughter who was really sick. He's desperate. Not only is this his daughter, but in Luke you'll find out that it's the only daughter he has. Parents can relate to this. When a child is sick, you're concerned. And if there's nothing you can do, you feel helpless and you're troubled. There's nothing worse than a parent feeling helpless and being able to help their child. This dad is so desperate. He's in desperate need. Which brings me to the second point, the response. Jesus went with him. In this passage of Scripture, and in the two other passages of Scripture found in Matthew and Luke, you will find that the response is the same. Jesus says nothing. There is no recorded word of Jesus saying anything to Jairus. Jairus comes to him and says, "My daughter is sick, and if you'll come and touch her, you can heal her." And the very next phrase is, "And Jesus went with him." Nothing said. Jesus just goes. What a response. I love that response. There's absolutely no one that is better to go with you than Jesus. No one is more equipped to help you than Jesus. So the response is simple, but it's powerful. And Jesus went with him. Well, on the way, we see an untimely delay. The need that Jairus had was what he believed, time sensitive. No time for delays, but there was one. The delay was because everyone was following Jesus. There was such a great crowd that kind of hindered Jesus to get there quickly. They just surrounded him. And then there's this lady. I had never noticed this until I was studying this passage of Scripture out just a little bit more and just really paying attention to the text. Jairus' daughter was 12 years of age. And this lady had been sick for 12 years. The entire life of this daughter who was dying, this lady had been sick. She had spent all of her money. The Bible tells us she had spent all trying to get better. She had gone to physicians, and the Bible says that they did so many things to her. They did every kind of procedure that could be thought of. So this lady was not only hurt mentally, emotionally, but she was hurting physically. Her life was terrible. Now she's broke and still sick. She has no money. She has no health. She's desperate. But in her desperation, we see her faith because she says, "If I could just touch his clothes." And so she touches the hem of his garment. She squeezes through the crowd, this great crowd, and she just touches his clothes. I mean, who would have thought that just touching his clothes could heal him? But she evidently had so much faith that Jesus was who he said he was, that if she could just touch just the butt of his garment, it would heal him. It'd heal her. So the whole procession, the one that is of a timely manner, is stopped. She touches Jesus. Jesus stops. "We have no time for delay," Jairus is probably thinking. "My daughter is sick unto death. Jesus, the great physician, needs to get there because Jesus needs to heal my daughter." And Jesus stops. The crowd has already impeded his it hindered him from going to where he needed to go. And now this lady that had been sick for 12 years, not on the outward appearance, but it was a sickness of the blood, touches the hem of his garment, and Jesus stops and has dialogue. "Who touched me?" Now the disciples are thinking, well, Jesus, I mean, good grief, man, there's a lot of people around you. A lot of people have been touching you. But Jesus says, who touched me? And then he looked. Now, Jesus didn't know. Jesus wasn't asking because he needed to know. He was asking so that she would face her situation. Jesus said, who touched me? He turned around to look at her, and she, knowing it was her, says, it was me. And Jesus graciously and lovingly says, thy sins be forgiven thee, you're whole. Go in peace. The gracious, loving Father, Jesus Christ, touches and heals this girl, but it's a delay. And in this delay, the little girl dies. Heartbroken, deeply grieved, this man, Jairus, has a choice. He could be angry. He could turn to the woman that stopped the procession and blame her. He could blame the crowd that so much hindered Christ to get in there more quickly. Someone's certain to blame. For if it hadn't been so long that Jesus possibly could have gotten there on time. But before any of the emotions or thoughts could come out, Jesus gives this man a choice, a chance to believe. Look at verse number 36. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken is, she's dead, why trouble the master? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. A choice Jesus was giving. A chance to believe greater than he had ever been able to believe before. An opportunity to expand his faith. Jesus gives him a choice to believe the crowd or believe him. And so we have a choice. The family tells Jairus, don't bother Jesus anymore. I'm sorry. Don't bother him anymore. Your daughter's dead. Can you imagine the horrible news of finding out that your child has passed away? There was hope just a few minutes ago because Jesus was coming. And now all of that expectation and anticipation had been taken away. I mean, they're probably professionals here. I mean, I'm pretty certain that most people would be professionals in the aspect of someone being dead, right? You probably could go to a funeral home, go up to a coffin and look at the person and said, yep, they're dead. When I preach a funeral, my wife usually always asks me how it went, and I usually answer with the same sarcastic answer that my dad answered me when I asked him how it went. Well, I didn't ruin the funeral. They're still dead. Because the only way you can ruin a funeral is to raise the dead person. By the way, Jesus ruined every funeral he ever attended, right? And so probably everybody realized this girl was actually dead. They saw her breathing. Now she hasn't breathed for a little bit. They checked her pulse. She's dead. As a matter of fact, she had been so sick that it's probably a good chance that they called a doctor to come in and try to help this girl. I mean, if my daughter was sick, I'd want to bring a doctor in to try to help my daughter, or at least take her to a doctor. And so there's probably even professional doctors there that have given the prognosis that this girl is dead, and Jesus makes a statement, she's not dead. She's asleep. Verse number 37, and he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. Why? Because the girl was dead. The mother's probably just beside herself. The brothers, and the brothers, if there was any, are beside themselves. The family members, the grandparents are just heartbroken. This 12-year-old girl who had life is lifeless. They're weeping, they're wailing. There's great wailing, the Bible says. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? It's an odd question. I've never gone into a funeral home where people were grieving and said, what are you crying about? There's two reasons. Number one, I don't want to be killed. You get somebody in an emotional state like that, you don't do that. Number two, that's just insensitive and not right or kind. Unless you're the master. Jesus says, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. Now listen to this. And they laughed him to scorn. I don't believe Jairus laughed at him to scorn, but the rest of them did. Because, see, Jairus has a choice. Jairus, you have a choice. You can believe the professionals. You can believe the multitude, or you can believe me. And so Jairus makes a choice, and we see the miracle. Jesus goes in and you can see it here. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talithai kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. The miracle is Jesus goes in and says, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And Jesus is pretty specific here. He says, damsel, he's specifically talking to this little girl. And he says this is unique. I saw this as unique. I say unto thee, get up. When Jesus tells you to do something, you do it. And she does. Then Jesus tells them to give her something to eat. What a great miracle. By the way, I use this often in funerals. Every person that Jesus resurrected from the dead, the first thing that he did is he gave them back to their family. A lot of people always wonder, well, I know my loved ones in heaven. Well, no. I believe that these are examples of, I believe that when you and I are resurrected in the rapture, we'll be given back to our families. And yes, it can be a great family reunion in heaven if they're all there. The only thing that you can take to heaven with you is your family and your loved ones. You can't take your money. You can't take your job. You can't take your intellect. You can't take your good looks. The only thing that you can take with you is your family. Because everything else, Jesus will provide for you. Good points there, Pastor Nathan. But what does this have to do with seniors? Well, as I look at the points, I see some comparisons. Seniors, you had a need. 13 years ago, or thereabouts, there was a need presented to your parents for you to get an education. So your parents filled out paperwork, got you the proper or appropriate medical checkups, and drove you or saw you off to your very first day of school. If you can recall, I cannot recall my first day of school, but maybe you can. If you can recall this, you might remember that your parents, especially your mother, was a little emotional. And you may or may not have been. You may have clung to your mother's leg and not wanting to go to school, or you may have said, see you, Mom, I'll see you when I get home, and off you went. I don't know. There's probably all types of people in here that acted differently. But the journey for the next 13 years or so had begun. For 13 years, your need was to get an education. You and your parents responded. With the help of many teachers, bus drivers, janitors, cooks that served in the cafeteria, coaches, administrators, teachers' aides, and the list could go on. The need was you needed an education. The response was, you'll get an education. Then there was countless delays. I heard someone say that this graduating class was only able to attend one full year of the 4 years of high school. With two teacher strikes, some sickness, one pandemic, there have been delays. Some have had teachers get sick and have to change teachers in the middle of the school year. Some have had to themselves change schools in the middle of an education. Maybe you've moved, or maybe your teacher took place, or your teaching took place at a kitchen table, and the delays of health or technology was not cooperating, and there were delays in your education. But no doubt in 13 years of journey, there are delays. There were delays, and sometimes there were countless delays. Delays that made the outcome uncertain or wearisome. There were probably times your parents thought, they'll never graduate. And there were times that you probably thought, I'll never graduate. I'll have to go to school forever. But that didn't happen, did it? You had a need. Your parents responded. There were delays, which left you a choice. The choice to strive or quit. The choice to excel or fit in. The choice to do your best or just get by. I admire homeschooled students. We had four homeschooled children represented this afternoon. You've been taught a self-discipline that is going to be and has been a great help to you. Public school kids, I admire the way that you have to go through school, and because of the vast size of the school and the people there, and so many people are different around you, you were faced with so many temptations and challenges that you weren't used to when you were by yourself or with your family. Many, many times you had to say no. But making right choices will be a quality that has been and most certainly will be a great value to your life. Those that went to Christian school, you had to face peers that pretended in front of adults to be rule followers and spiritual leaders or spiritually minded teens, only to find and know that in private they were hypocrites and cared little for the things of God. And you saw them exalted by teachers and administration, and you knew their real heart, and you knew who they really were, and you wondered, why in the world? I mentioned three different type of students, and I focused on one thing that could have been a struggle in the environment that they were in, but the truth is they all faced the same challenges that the other faced. Because they were human beings around other people who were human beings. Basically said, you all face the same challenges no matter what school you went to, but I love the idea that we have all three represented here today. And my point is this, you had a choice, and in the last 13 years, you had to make some choices. Some of the times you chose wrong. And some of the times you chose right. Some of the choices you made, you look back on and think, what was I thinking? And when you look back in your yearbook 20 years ago from now, and you see the way you dressed or had your hair, you're going to think, what was I thinking? Some of the choices you'll look back on and think, I'm so thankful that I made that choice. And in the next 70 years of your life, you'll have many, 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 many more choices. You'll have the world wanting you to listen to them. You'll have the experts wanting you to listen to them. You'll have the majority wanting you to listen to them. And then you'll have Jesus wanting you to listen to him. Can you start seeing the comparisons of Jairus and seniors now? There was a need. There was a response. There was a delay. There was a choice. And if you choose right, there'll always be the miracle. The miracle took place with a sick girl who died, and Daddy had a choice. He chose right. He chose Jesus. Now you might be sitting there and you have never developed a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can, right now, where you're seated. you can be introduced to the most wonderful person that has ever been and always will be. He loves you. He died for you. He was willing to go to hell for you so that he wouldn't have to live in heaven without you. And if you'll trust him to be your Savior, he will save you from your sin. Please trust him today. Like the lady with the issue of blood, you have an issue too. It may not be blood, but it's sin. And the greatest news is that Jesus' blood can cleanse you from sin, and his blood applied to your life will cleanse you and heal you spiritually. And maybe you are a believer, and you've been faced with tough choices, whether you're a senior or a church member, or an attendant, or somebody watching on Facebook. Maybe you've been faced with tough choices. Maybe it's a college or a career. Maybe it's a friend or a job. And I want you to listen to Jesus. Pray about it. Ask him. You have a need? He'll respond. If you think that there's a delay, trust him. He's always right on time. Don't bother the master. She's dead. She's not dead. She's asleep. You have a choice, Jairus, to believe them or believe me. If you believe them, they're right. And if you believe me, I'm right. Both of them had different destinations. He chose right. Jairus' daughter lived. Can you imagine the great sorrow turned to great joy? My point to you seniors is this. You're going to have needs in your life, and you're going to have responses. If you trust Jesus, he'll always respond. And it may not be in your time frame. You may think it's not happening as quickly as you think it should be happening. And I want you to know that there will be delays. Sometimes there's delays in Christ's answer. But I also want you to know that if you choose right, the miracles will take place in your life. And the things that you need to have happen will always happen. But it is your choice because God gave you a free will. And if you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know that if you choose right, there's an eternity in heaven. And if you choose wrong, there's an eternity in hell. But both will be an existence. But only if you choose right will you get the reward. You choose wrong, you'll still have an eternity. If you are saved, what choices do you need to make this morning? What decisions are you facing that you're struggling with? This person is saying this, and this crowd is saying this, and these people want you to do that, but there's this still small voice named Jesus, and he's just saying, follow me. Who are you going to listen to? You need to listen to the Master.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.